Chapter 10. They spent the night at an inn, and Aunt Mia found them early in the morning and guided them through a tangle of alleys to her house. She was in her 40s, looked a decade older, and had been widowed for almost 20 years, since soon after her son, Brayan, was born. Her husband had been a successful rug merchant, so her house was large, and she assured Kailar and Aline that they could stay as long as they liked. Aunt Mia was a midwife and healer with plain features, twinkling eyes, and shoulders like a longshoreman.
So?
Aunt Mia said after a breakfast of eggs and ham. How long have you two been married? Almost a year, Kailar said. He figured that if he initiated the lies, Aline might be able to keep them going. Aline was a terrible liar. He looked at her, and sure enough, she was blushing. Aunt Mia took it to be embarrassment and laughed.
Well, I figure you were a little young to be this young lady's natural mother.
How'd you find your new mother and father, Uli?
Kailar sat back, stifling the urge to supply the answer himself. If he answered for everyone, not only would he look like an ass, he'd look suspicious. Sometimes you just had to let the bones roll where they may.
The war, Uli said. She swallowed, looked down at her plate, and said nothing more.
It wasn't even a lie, and the emotion on Uli's face was plainly real. Uli's nurse had been killed in the fighting. Uli still cried about it sometimes.
She was at the castle during the coup, Aline said.
Aunt Mia sat down her knife and spoon. They didn't use forks in Caernarvon, much to Kailar's irritation.
I tell you what, Uli. We're going to take good care of you. You'll be safe, and you'll even have your own room.
And toys? Uli asked.
Something about the open, hopeful expression on Uli's face made Kailar ache. Little girls should be playing with dolls. Why hadn't he ever given Uli a doll? Not fishing bodies out of rivers. Aunt Mia laughed.
And toys, she said.
Aunt Mia, Aline said, we're already putting you out enough. We have enough money for toys, and Uli can stay with us. You've already...
I won't hear of it, Aunt Mia said. Besides, you two are still newlyweds. You need all the privacy you can get, although heaven knows Gavin and I managed to plow the row quite a few times when we shared a one-room shack with his parents.
Aline blushed crimson, and Aunt Mia kept talking.
But I'd guess an 11-year-old isn't quite as good about ignoring noises in the night, am I right?
Now Kailar blushed. Aunt Mia looked at him, and then looked at Uli, who looked puzzled.
Are you telling me you haven't, since you left Cenaria?
Aunt Mia said.
Surely you'd slip away sometimes in the morning when Uli was still asleep.
No?
Well, that trip has to be, what, 3 weeks? That's an eternity for you youngsters. Well, this afternoon Uli and I will go for a good long walk. The bed in your room creaks some, but if you worry too much about that sort of thing, Uli will never have a little brother, eh?
Please, Kailar begged, shaking his head. Aline was mortified.
Humph, Aunt Mia said, looking at Aline. Well, if you're finished with your breakfast, why don't we go meet my son?
Brayan Smith worked in a shop attached to the house. He had his mother's broad, plain features and wide shoulders. As they approached, he threw a barrel hoop he was shaping onto a stack of similar ones and removed his gloves.
"Morning," he said.
His eyes immediately went to Aline, a quick glance at her scarred face and then a too appreciative weighing of her assets. It wasn't the quick up and down that men instinctively gave every woman. Kailar wouldn't have minded that. But this wasn't a look. It was a linger. And right to Aline's face, or rather, right to her breasts.
"Nice to meet you," Brayan said, sticking his hand out to Kailar.
He looked at Kailar, weighing, evaluating. Predictably enough, He tried to crush Kylar's hand. A trickle of talent took care of that. Without a whisper of tension in his face or his forearm, Kylar clamped down on the monstrous paw in his grip and took it right to the edge of breaking. A little more and every bone in the man's hand would shatter. After a moment he backed off and merely matched the man, rough hand to rough hand, muscle to muscle, and eye to eye, even if he did have to look up and Brayen outweighed him by a third. The panic cleared from Brayen's eyes, and Kylar could see him wondering if he'd imagined the initial force of Kylar's grip.
"Kylar?"
Eline muttered through clenched teeth, as if he were making a spectacle of himself. But Kylar didn't break eye contact. There was something being settled here, and if it was primal and barbaric and petty and stupid, it was still important.
Eline didn't like being ignored. "I suppose next you'll compare the size of your..." She broke off, embarrassed.
"Good idea," Kylar said as the man finally released his hand. "What do you say, Brayen?"
Kylar loosened his belt. Mercifully, Brayen laughed. The rest of them followed, but Kylar still didn't like him. Brayen still didn't like him either. Kylar could tell.
"Well, nice to meet you," Brayen said again. "I got a big order to finish."
He bobbed his head and picked up a hammer, flexing his pained fingers surreptitiously. For the rest of the morning and afternoon, Aunt Mia showed them around Caernarvon. Though it was larger than Cenaria, the city didn't have the chaotic feel of Kylar's home. Most of the streets were paved and wide enough for two wagons and numerous pedestrians to pass it at the same time. Vendors who set up shop infringing on that space were so quickly punished that few tried it. Sudden crushes pushed the crowds together whenever two wagons did pass, but there were accepted standards here, and had been long enough that the wagons all traveled in 6-inch deep ruts in the paving stones.
Even the sewers in the streets passed through pipes, with grates at intervals for the collection of new sewage. It made the city almost not smell like a city. Castle Caernarvon dominated the north side. It was sometimes called the Blue Giant for its bluish granite. The blue walls were seamless, as flat and smooth as glass, except for the numerous arrow slits and murder holes at the gates. 200 years ago, Aunt Mia said, 18 men had held the castle for 6 days against 5,000.
Around the castle, of course, were the great houses. The city got dirtier and more crowded the closer it came to the docks. As in most places, the rich and noble liked to live away from everyone else, and everyone else liked to live as close to the rich as they could. Here, though, that was one line that was not regulated. Unlike Cenaria's poor, who were legally bound to the west side of the plith. Those who made the money to move could do so here. The possibility for advancement seemed to energize the entire city. Caernarvon was the gold and glittering fool's gold of hope. Its vice was greed. In his own imagination, every merchant here was the emperor of the next trading empire. Cenaria was the smothering, stinking blanket of despair. Its vice was envy. No one built empires there. They just wanted a piece of someone else's.
"You're awfully quiet," Eline said.
"It's different here," Kylar said.
Even before Kalidor came, Cenaria was sick.
"This is better.
I think we can make a home here."
Gods!
He was about to become one of those merchants he'd been despising. Not that he had great ambitions. Being an herbalist and apothecary was really the only thing he could do, besides kill. It wasn't anything he would ever dream about. What would he dream? About opening a second shop? Dominating the city's herb trade? He'd once held a country's future in his hands. He could have changed everything with one betrayal.
killing a man he'd ended up killing anyway.
If I had, Logan would be alive.
As Aunt Mia led them home, he tried to force his mind into a merchant rut. He had a small amount of gold hidden in the wagon, and a fortune in herbs. Had they been robbed on the way here, the bandits wouldn't even have known what to steal.
"Well, the house is just down this street," Aunt Mia said. "Brayan's out buying supplies. Uli and I are going to a little sweetmeats shop to give you two some time to get reacquainted."
She winked at Kylar, while Aline blushed. But then, Aunt Mia's face darkened.
"What's that?"
she asked. Kylar looked toward the house. Wisps of smoke were rising and thickening rapidly. He joined the crowd running toward Aunt Mia's house. In the city, a fire was such a threat that everyone grabbed buckets and ran to help. But by the time he got there, the barn was entirely consumed with flame. It was too late to save anything. The crowds threw water on the nearby buildings while Kylar held Aline and Uli mutely. The barn was a total loss. Their two horses and Aunt Mia's old nag were left as smoking, stinking mounds of meat. There was almost nothing left of the wagon. The arsonist had found the hidden chest with its gold. The fortune in herbs had gone up in smoke. The only thing left was a long, thin box bound to the wagon's bent axle. The lock was intact. Kylar opened it, and there were his wet boy Grays and his sword, Retribution, untouched, not even smelling of smoke, mocking his impotence.